For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
The God of Mischief is back and better than ever.
Loki.
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 Wow. Great to see you again.
Critics agree Loki season 2 is
marvelous.
Great.
And it's finally here.
How much do you know?
Let's assume I don't know much.
A mind-bending adventure. Spectacularly cinematic.
I've been waiting for a moment like this.
It surpasses all expectations.
A little over the top, don't you think?
I thought it was spot on.
Loki season 2. Now streaming only on Disney Plus.
You are listening to Absent Minded, brought to you by HabsEyesOnThePrize.com.
Hello and welcome to Absent Minded. It's Patrick Bexell. I'm here with Hadi Kalakesh, and I am going back to Hadi because last time we spoke with Hadi, we rated the OHL prospects. And all the other junior league prospects, but we didn't rate the goalies, obviously. We forgot about that. And we didn't rate the NCAA prospects. So here we are, and thank you again for joining me, Hadi. I love the conversation we just had about Sean Wright and as a first overall pick, and I think we both agree that he will be a first overall pick. We'll have more on that coming up later, but it's great to have you on again, Hadi.
Yeah, thanks for having me on. It's always a pleasure.
We're looking to the NCAA, but we're going to start with the goalies that we had on that we didn't have on last week, and that's Joe Verbetic from North Bay Battalion in the OHL. Decent enough campaign this year, I think. Yeah. He has a 2.87 goals against average. He has a 0.906 saving percentage over 45 games. That's pretty strong numbers.
Yeah, exactly. I gave him a B grade on the season. I think he finished second among drafted goaltenders in the OHL for save percentage and goals against. And he was ninth overall. So that includes, 20, 21-year-olds that haven't been drafted. And one thing I noticed is that his backup, Dom DeVincenzis, he finished with better stats, but he was facing lower quality teams. Verbetic was not only given the brunt of the games in terms of quantity, but also in terms of quality, he was facing the better teams. So that sort of contributed to that. The main thing with Verbetic is he's massive. He's 6'6". He's got a great wingspan and he's very sort of composed in net. That's his biggest quality, I'd say. He reads the play well. He doesn't sort of step out, doesn't get too aggressive. He keeps his cool and understands when and where to go for those desperation saves and when he can just sort of control himself. But because of his wingspan, I feel like shots that are closer to his body, closer to his chest, tend to squeeze through a bit easier. So that's something he could work on. And he's very susceptible to deflections. So anytime there's a deflected shot, he sort of struggles first with controlling the rebound and second with actually making the save to start with. But in general, in terms of where he was drafted, I think this is a great selection for the Habs. It's rare, that you can get a late round pick that performs well and has some upside. It's still early and it's always very early with goalies. It can take a lot of time, but if you can get a guy after the 200th pick who can play a game or two in the NHL, that would be a great option for the Habs.
Yeah, goalies are voodoo. We all know that. And no one really knows how to treat it as well. Comparing him to Fredrik Tichau a little bit, what I've seen with Frederick is that he has to work around a little bit of the bodies because he's so high up. And Verbetic is, and Dobich as well, that we're going to talk about in a second, is taller than Tichau. And I'm wondering, have you seen the same kind of thing that when he has to go maybe a little bit down, opening up his legs a little bit more before the shot comes in order to get around the defenders and get a look around the attackers and maybe a little bit more susceptible to screens.
Yeah, well, I've actually seen the opposite habit with Verbetic, where he's actually going to look on top of the players. He's going to sort of crane up and look around them, look above their shoulders most of the time, which is, you know, one main thing that leaves him susceptible to deflections, because then he has to drop. And with his massive frame, his long legs, it takes longer to hit the butterfly position from the standstill, especially when he's, you know, looking up and raising his body upwards. Mm-hmm. So that's one thing that, you know, it's a small habit that can either be adjusted or worked around. And the Habs have, you know, fantastic goalie development, I feel. So they've got the tools required to sort of round out his game and make that work for him. But I would like to see him sort of crouch down with the team players' legs behind or beside them a bit more often, just to get a better look at the puck and be more ready for a deflection. But it's small adjustments, really. And at 19, you have a bunch of runway to work with.
Indeed. We saw it took a long time for Deschau to come around. And yes, had a fantastic season, obviously. Jacob Dobish for Ohio State University and going into the NCAA prospects that way. 35 games, 2.26 goal games, but a saving percentage of 0.934. Give us the lowdown.
Yeah, well, this is one of, you know, Dobish is one of the most aggressive and athletic goalies in the league. He's very, very quick on his skates. He's really good with stick work. And that's one thing I look at with goalies that makes me sort of hone in on their IQ, is how they use their stick when, not just when leaving their net to play pucks, but especially when, you know, the puck gets down low and they have to sort of block cross ice options. Does he drop his stick too quick? Does he put it in the right spots? For me, that's something that Dobish does quite well. He's a good poke checker. He doesn't overcommit. He's got great lower body flexibility and he's explosive. There's a lot of qualities in Dobish's game that make him sort of a solid prospect for the Habs. I'd rate him above Verbetic by a good amount right now. But he is also older, I think. I think he's 20. Let me check. There we go. Yeah, he is 20 years old. He's turning 21 actually in 3 days. So happy early birthday to him. But yeah, he was a fifth round pick last in 2020. So to me, this is a prospect that still has some time ahead of him. But he's also, you know, in his before last year with Ohio State. So he's got some runway. We've got time, especially in net. The Habs have gotten some good pickups. Keaton Primo's on the come up. There's a lot of options right now. So in terms of goal, you know, rushing goalies, I don't think, you know, the Habs need to worry about that at all. And they've got a good pool that I don't think they're going to pick up a goalie in this year's draft. So yeah, Dobish to me, I think is pretty much, you know, he's on par with Deschau in terms of the two best goalie prospects in the Habs system. And he puck tracks really, really well. I feel like he sees the play extremely well. He doesn't lose sight of the puck. So yeah, he's a very well-rounded elf prospect, and that helps him a lot in the NCAA right now. But there's ways to go. There's a lot of things that he can work on. Sometimes he gets caught off guard on backdoor threats. He won't identify the fact that there's a player on the backdoor waiting for a pass, and sometimes that'll catch up to him. So yeah, there's a lot of work to do, but also, you know, a lot of very well-rounded out assets.
Back to the defenders, really, and I'm going to start with, you know, Anton Rosegård's favorite prospect, Arvid Henriksson, Lake Superior State. I mean, let's be honest here. I'm in some ways happy with Arvid. I'm in many ways happy with Arvid. He was a good student in Sweden. He's turned into, you know, a decent NCAA defender. I don't think he'll go anywhere else. He might end up doing a hockey Allsvenskan maybe in Sweden. But on the other hand, he's gotten a degree out of his hockey, and that's worth a lot in the long run.
Yeah, absolutely. The only thing is with Henriksson, though, is he's the only drafted prospect on his team, and he's 17th in points. His plus-minus isn't too good. Takes a lot of penalties. He's got a style of play that fits well for the NCAA in terms of, you know, suppressing chances, in terms of being a physical guy who can shut down play. But I don't see any real pro upside in his game. I think the NCAA is pretty much where it ends for him because he's 24 and putting up sort of, you know, 5.5 assists in 35 games as a 24-year-old playing against, you know, 19 to 23-year-olds. To me, that's not a really good sign of sort of pro potential. I've watched a couple of his games. The issue is
aging is usually the issue, isn't it?
Yeah, the skating is the main issue, absolutely. But it's also the thing is, he plays in a division that is separate in terms of viewership from the rest of the NCAA. So I can watch the rest of the NCAA on multiple platforms, but that specific division is very difficult to get games for. But I have watched 3 or 4 of his games, and he never really stood out as a guy who would be able to make the NHL, just, you know, mainly due to that skating issue. I don't see him as a very solid skater. So to me, you know, there's things he can do better, but in general, he just doesn't seem like the type of prospect that the Habs would be able to hang on to and sign and have play, even in Laval.
No. Definitely not. I think, you know, he should be happy getting a degree, put that degree to use, work, maybe play hockey. If he gets a hockey contract in Hockey Allsvenskan in Sweden, which is a pro league, I'll be honest with that. But I don't see him go any further than that.
100%.
Because of the reasons we already said, he's big, he's a bruiser, he can stand in front of the net. I've heard his leadership qualities are really good, but on the other hand, his skating qualities has always been the trouble. And there was a reason he was almost Mr. Irrelevant in that year's draft, but I think he was third from last to be taken. I mean, I understand why you take a shot at players like this, so I don't blame it, you know, and there's not many seventh round pick that plays a couple of games in the NHL either. So it's fine.
100%. Exactly. And the thing is, especially in that range, especially who was drafting at that point, to me, it was like, you know, the Habs are going for a specific brand of defender for a long while. That's why they drafted Struble. That's why they drafted, you know, Caden Gooley. They were going for a specific brand of big, mean, physical defenders that can sort of skate, but mainly focus on the defensive side. They wanted very, you know, polished defensive players. It worked out in certain elements, but, you know, with a late seventh round pick, you don't really cry if they don't make the NHL. You know, it's sort of the expectation. Already first rounders, it's something like 30 to 40% of them that make the NHL, and it just goes much lower from there. So when you get to the seventh round, you're going to miss some shots, and that's okay.
Yeah. Another player that we're going to talk a little bit about is Lucas Condotta. I hope I pronounced that right. Otherwise, I'm sorry. left wing, UMass Lowell, 33 games. You know, I think when you look at Condotta, and this is my take really, and it's the same essentially with Quinnipiac's Quinnipiac's University's Ty Similiniac. It's Milanic. These are players that you have to look a couple of years down the road and see what they're become, because you don't really know. A little bit Blake Biondi is in that category for me as well.
For sure. Yeah, that's the thing. Like, I think the Habs are really looking for someone with leadership qualities. He was a captain at UMass. He's 24, so he's physically developed. I think he's reached his physical maturity. We're way ahead on that. I do see some goal scoring sort of abilities, but to me, it doesn't stand out as a, you know, massively solid offensive player. He really sort of mans the defensive side of the game pretty well. He's got good physicality. I see him as a fourth line option down the road. At 24, you know, he's got maybe a couple more years of proper development before he reaches sort of his prime and what we expect from him as a player. So to me, you know, we shouldn't expect much from Condotta. He seems like the type of player that's probably going to be a fourth line guy, sort of chipping in physically, chipping in defensively, scoring the odd goal. But, you know, there's not many sort of puck skill elements to his game to stand out. He doesn't attack the middle as much. He's really much more comfortable along the boards. So, you know, I haven't watched enough of Condotta to have a full opinion on him. This is just based on the games I've watched with Laval and a couple of games I've watched him play with UMass. But that's sort of my impression of it.
Going on to Similanic again and Biondi after that, can you give us some runtime on these two as well?
Yeah, so Smolanic is a good goal scorer. He's got good habits, a good shot with the puck. The only thing is he attacks wide a lot. He loves to rush down the boards and overtake defenders that way because he's got good skating. I'm not sure that translates quite as well in the NHL. The NHL usually what works is give and go passes, attacking the middle, dropping into soft areas, reloading above the puck and funneling down the middle. I don't see that as often from Smolanic, and he has played center, but I do project him more as a winger at the NHL level. But there's small habit elements, small decision-making elements that I don't feel are as solid as other prospects in the pool. So there's caution there, but I think the Habs have a good sort of, they started with their development team to round out those issues and work on his puck skills and his IQ. And he's still young, so there's a bunch of runway available as well. But my take on him is probably going to be more of a goal scorer than a playmaker and a guy who's going to up the pace every time he gets the puck. But I wouldn't see him as more than a third line player this far. If he works on his IQ, if he works on attacking the middle, on playing give and goes, feeding off his teammates to get them to better opportunities, then maybe. But for the moment, he's probably going to be a third line player.
And Biondi,
to me, he's a very he's a big center. He's good at faceoffs. He's the type of guy who's also going to be scoring a lot of goals, but I feel like his playmaking ability is a bit underrated. He does end up being the finisher most of the time, where he'll get the puck from his teammates and shoot it on goal. Biggest issue with Biondi really is the skating. To me, there's major improvements required on that side of the puck. He's got some decent elements, but really the skating is a big, big issue. And he's not really good at retrieving pucks in stride. So it's a bit like Ryan Poehling, where he'll get a puck, and then as soon as he ups the pace and tries to skate hard, it starts bobbling on him, and he can't really keep possession of it. But he's an extremely physical player. He's great defensively, and he's got a great shot, which are three sort of foundations you can build around and make a bottom six player that's going to have a solid impact. But these, again, are young players that have a bunch of time to add some tools, and especially with Adam Nicholas being added to the development team, I think Biondi's going to benefit the most from his addition because he's going to be able to work on his skating posture, his skating stride, and make sure that he stops bobbling pucks when he ups the pace, which is going to help his game a lot.
We've spoken about four guys, Henriksson, and if you grade them, Henriksson, Kondota, Smolanic, and Biondi, if we grade them in that order, what grade have you given Henriksson this year?
I gave him a D. Because at 24, he should be performing better than this, in my opinion.
Shouldn't he get an F then?
I'm pretty generous with my grades. I think he is the lowest I'll go. That's just out of respect.
Says the guy that gave two Fs in his his grading article. Yeah. All right. Okay. Kondota.
It's hard to say because I haven't watched him as much. I don't really feel too comfortable grading him on the entire season, but based on what I saw, there were games where he was a B, there were games where he was a C, so somewhere in that range, where he's doing well, but not as well as a 24-year-old should be doing at that age, in that week.
Milanic? That's Milanic? I think I pronounced it like five different times now, in five different ways, so it's fine.
No worries. So yeah, Smolanic, I'll see what I gave him in the article. I didn't grade him because I didn't watch him as much either, but from the games I watched, there were moments again where he was performing well, he was scoring goals, but most of the time the issue is the inconsistency with him. There's games where he completely disappears and there's games where he seems like the best player on the team. He's got great hands, stuff like that, so something like a C+ would make sense for him.
And final of this group, the Biondi guy.
Blake Biondi, I gave a B+. He had a great season. 17 goals, 11 assists in 42 games. He was a high scorer on UMD, on the University of Minnesota Duluth program. And he really manned the team offensively and was excellent defensively. So to me, he's the guy that had the best grade among these four.
We're going to move on and we're going to look at some guys that we might you know, hear more about in the coming years. And it's Pitlick. You know, Montreal collects all the Pitlicks. We got Stapley and we got Tuck. In which order do you want to go with these?
We can start with Pitlick. He had a hit or miss season for me. There were games where he was doing great. It's actually, you know, was sort of split in two halves. The first half really didn't go as well as the second, not even in the slightest. He only had 7 assists through his first 17 games. But then after that, he hit a stride. I think it was great timing. The Habs added Rem and Tyler Pitlick, and then his game just exploded. So I think he was just really happy with their additions. So he ended the season with 18 points in 29 games. He had a 4-game point streak in which he had 7 points. He was really all over the place. And that's the thing, is that Pitlick's consistency is the main issue. There's games where he's hard to watch, and there's games where he just seems like the most explosive and dynamic player. He's an excellent skater. He's an excellent puck handler. He reminds me a lot of Rem Pitlick in that sense, where, you know, he'll get the puck, he'll up the pace. He has great edge work, great stick handling. When he gets the puck, there's a threat, usually. But there's also games where nothing's going in. He'll take a shot, he'll miss wide. The next one, he'll shoot at the shin pads. You know, it's very inconsistent with him. And if he can sort of round that out and be more consistent with his performances, you know, he would bring a bit of what Rem Pitlick brings, you know, pace, intensity, defensive value, and the occasional shooting percentage bender where everything seems to be going.
Interesting. And I think, you know, it's interesting to see also these kind of, how should I say, high performance players. It's either hit or miss. That Montreal has collected over the last couple of seasons.
I give him a B minus on the season, just to mention that, because of the inconsistency.
Then let's go with Luke Tuck, Boston University. You know,
I'm gonna try to be kind to Luke, but it's pretty hard. Watching him this season, among the Habs prospects I watched, I think he was really the most disengaged. He just sort of skates around aimlessly and sort of tries things when he gets the puck. I didn't see him as involved physically. I didn't see him use his, you know, skating as well to sort of separate. You know, when there's runway ahead of him, when there's a clear path to a breakaway, he'll take it. But as soon as he's facing opposition, he tends to slow down. He tends to stop skating and starts overthinking. And especially the thing I noticed is that his hockey sense really isn't the best. He'll pass into skates. He won't time his passing as well. He won't try, you know, area passes into zones for his teammates to skate into and stuff like that. He was injured throughout the year, so maybe the disengagement was related to that. But I don't know. I talked about this on another podcast, but I feel like if Luke Tuck makes a third line, it's a miracle. That's the best case scenario for him. And a lot of things need to go right for that to happen. But, you know, he's got great shooting. He's got, you know, good pace to his game. He's a big guy. It's just about using his tools better, I feel.
So a D?
I give him a C-, close enough.
You're too kind. You're way too kind. I'm going to tell my kids about you in class, and they're going to want you as a teacher and not me anymore.
Absolutely.
All right, let's go with Brett Stapley. Someone that has spoken a lot about during the season, and especially at the end of last season. How has it been going? Because I haven't been following him quite a lot.
Yeah, well, Brett Stapley really had a good season, but he had it on a tremendous team in Denver. Denver had a bunch of, you know, high-end scores. I gave him a B on the season. He ended with 38 points in 34 games. Including his playoffs, he had 43 points in 41 games. But if you look at the scores, he ended fourth on the team in scoring. Obviously, Bobby Brink was the guy. Carlos Savoy as well on Edmonton's side. Was really good on that team. And it wasn't like he was being carried by those guys, but he was definitely being assisted in his production by them.
The question is more or less, how much did he assist on theirs?
Oh, well, a decent amount, but Stapley had more, you know, a good amount of goals. He had 18 goals and 25 assists, so it was a pretty even split. He was often getting the puck in positive areas, so he was more benefiting of good passes. But at the same time, that's the thing with Stapley, is that he sort of struggles to create his own seams when attempting to pass a puck. He'll sort of rely on the openings that are already there. When the opening's there, he's good. You know, he can get that pass through. But I don't see him create seams as well as he should. I don't see him, you know, change the angle on his pass before losing the pass, you know, that kind of stuff. But again, he's a seventh round pick. He's aging out of, you know, of the NCAA pretty soon. He's got great stick handling. He's good off the puck, a really good off puck player. And, you know, I'd say his passing is better than his shooting. But not by a lot. Both elements are pretty good. The main issues I see is that he's not as physical as he should be, and he struggles with retrieving pucks, which is something that's pretty useful for a center. You want your center to be able to battle for loose pucks and get them out of his zone and all that. And, you know, but in terms of supporting his defenders, that's probably his best area. He circles low, he assists them on the breakout, but they need to retrieve the puck. He can't be stable. That's the only element.
All right, let's finish on the high note. We got three fantastic prospects to go. I don't know in which order we're going to take them, but let's start with Jaden Struble.
Jaden Struble was, you know, his point totals won't show it, but he really had a great season. They gave him a B on the season. He had 3 goals and 10 assists in 31 games, but the skills that he displayed on and off the puck really showed me that Struble might even have a higher upside than Jordan Harris, who joined the Habs already. He's doing good. He's still raw. There's still some things he needs to learn, but I think next season with the with Northeastern, just being their main guy and playing the most minutes, I think he's going to shine, because the way that he chooses his passes when he gets the puck, you know, he never delegates his problems. When he has a puck, he finds a guy who's in a better position than him. And if there's none, he's going to absorb the player and open up that player so that they're in a better position. It shows smarts. And especially, you know, along the boards, his body positioning to retain pucks, is the way he takes opponents' hands out of the play in order to retain a puck and play it out. To me, that's fantastic. He's a great transition player. It's the biggest area of his game that I think is going to translate very well. He skates fantastically. He's a big body, and he finds passes really well. So very well-rounded player, but with still some elements of decision-making. Like sometimes he'll rush into a physical contact without really mapping out the situation and making sure that he's not taking himself out of play, leaving his teammate short-handed. Small elements like that, but honestly, I'd say Struble to me is in the top 3 or 4 prospects in the Habs system.
Very interesting, and looking forward to hearing or seeing your top 25 under 25 rankings down the line.
Yeah.
Moving on to someone that is already signed by Montreal Canadiens, there's been a lot of worry from Montreal fans about him not signing, obviously. He got his games in this year, burned one of the entry-level deal years in the contract. But Jordan Harris, how was his season? How did you grade him? But also a little bit, what are your expectations on him next season?
Yeah, so Harris's season, I gave him a B+ on it. He was really the most hermetic defenseman on the Northeastern side. Nothing really got past him. And when it did, most of the time, it wasn't something that was his fault. Whether it's on the rush or in his own zone, Harris is constantly breaking down plays, and it shows how intelligent he is. We saw that in the NHL as well. The intelligent plays that he makes with the puck constantly, the consistency with which he makes those plays, I don't think there's a parallel for him in the Habs system. There's no one that plays like him, and there's no one that is as smart, I feel, as him on the defensive side. I feel like his puck skills are limited. He doesn't have the most solid shot. He doesn't have the most tremendous passing ability, but he's just a very, very smart guy. He reminds me a lot. I feel like he filled the gap of Brett Kulak excellently. In terms of style, in terms of what they do with the puck, without the puck, they're very similar. And I think that's how he projects. To me, I feel like he's going to be a fourth, fifth, sixth defenseman pretty much his entire career. But he's going to be one of the best fourth, fifth, sixth defensemen. Not in the league, but in the Habs system for sure. He's going to be a great option in that bottom three of the Habs defensive four. Whereas Struble, on the other hand, he has a potential to be a number two, three, four guy. Is he going to hit that potential? Maybe not. But with Harris, it's the certainty. Like, he's going to be an NHL player for a very long time. So I'm not worried about him at all, but I would temper expectations. I don't see him as a solid top four guy, especially given his shot is pretty fluttery. It's not the hardest and not the most accurate. But other than that, he's just very, very, very smart. I love his.
We're going to move on to the last prospect of the show. And obviously, he scored a couple of minutes ago in the World Championships. Cole Caulfield has said it's his favorite prospect in the system, really. He said it on the draft day, obviously. Or was it Steele when Sean Farrell was drafted? As I mentioned, just scoring an empty netter against Denmark. Was it against them? No, it was Norway.
Norway,
I mix up my neighboring countries every time. but scoring an empty netter. Really great to have him there. Really great to see him also handling, you know, playing against bigger opponents and seasonal opponents, maybe even more. I'm going to expect an A from you here.
Oh, yeah, 100%. He got an A and fully deserves it. I've said it multiple times with Farrell. He is the best playmaker in the Habs system. He passes through sticks, through skates like they don't exist. He finds players in better positions. He times it perfectly. He's, you know, his playmaking is elite. It's elite. There's no other word for it. And he's improved his shot. He's improved his defensive game. He's improved physically. There's a lot of areas in which he grew. And that's why he's an A. You know, if he was just good at playmaking and I didn't see any progression in his game, probably would have been in the B's. But the progress he's shown this year in his entire game makes me feel like Farrell's a shoo-in for a top six down the line. I really, really, really like his game. I feel like his skating needs a bit of work. He is pretty elusive, but he doesn't have as much top speed because he's a bit slouched in his skating posture. And that's, again, something that Adam Nicholas can round out with him later on. But 28 points in 24 games, he scored 10 goals. To me, you know, he was one of Harvard's most solid players. Even if he wasn't always playing on their first line, he was always on their first power play, always contributing from the half wall, making insane passes throughout the year. I love Sean Farrell's game. And I think, to me, he's either second or third in the Habs system.
He's one of the players that we all have realized what kind of a pick Montreal actually got. We should listen to Cole Caulfield more often when it comes to drafting, right?
100%. He should be a scout.
Well, he might end up there after his long career with the Habs. You've been listening to Hadi Kalakesh. You find him on Twitter under Hadi Kalakesh, right? Or is it Hadi K Scouting?
It's Hadi K underscore Scouting.
Yeah. Have a look at him. This is the last episode of grading the prospects that Hadi and I have covered over the season. We hope you enjoyed it. We'll be back with more and more draft coverage coming towards the draft, where we will have Hadi, obviously, with his insights into the different draft systems and the draft pool coming on again. I hope you have appreciated his insights as much as I have. Thank you, Hadi. You're an amazing guest, and I'm really happy to have you here.
Thanks so much. Anytime.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.